So what we're going to talk about today is talk about the thing that brings us closer than any other thing, and that's the blood of Jesus. We're going to talk about how to practically use the blood of Jesus in our life in a way that will take all of that power that's contained in the blood and to make it usable, practical in my life to where the blood of Jesus literally becomes my life source, becomes my health, my strength, my joy, my peace. Because the blood of Jesus is the strongest thing in the universe and beyond the universe. There is nothing any stronger than the blood. There are three that walk side by side, the Word, the name, and the blood. But truly, it was the blood that was the sacrifice. And the blood makes the name and the Word workable. It allows me in to be able to use it, to manifest it, to agree with it, to find a close place with God. So we're just going to talk about the blood of Jesus this morning. We're going to talk about how to use it in, I said prayer life, but probably more so than prayer life. Prayer life, because when we say prayer life, we think about that 30 minutes in the morning or the 15 minutes in the morning or the 5-minute commute to work or that time that we're talking to God, in which literally the Bible says is the prayer, the kind of prayer that God is expecting to be in our life is the kind of prayer that ceases not. It's prayer without ceasing. It's an attitude. It's the way you live life. You live life connected to God. And the Bible calls that prayer. It's when you're connected with God all the time. And so what we usually do, we offer God bits and pieces of us, and the Lord just wants to know He's not going to move in and He's not going to put stuff with stuff. He's just not going to press His way into an already full house. But if you want more of God or closeness with God, you're going to have to clean out some rooms. You're going to have to make some space available in your life. But the Lord wants me to tell you, if you'll make it, He'll come. If you'll make it available in your life for more of God, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed for the glory of the Lord. All right, we're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the power of the blood. So I'm going to talk about it in some different kind of ways. And please try not to look at it like a preaching message, although at times we'll talk about points and things, I think. But some way, I'm asking us to experience God this day. And certainly, we've already been experiencing the Lord this morning in the worship and the prayer time that we've had. We've been experiencing the presence of God. But our heart cries out. What's your heart saying? It's something like M-O-R-E. There's something at our heart saying, more, 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 more of God. It's like this inextinguishable part of us that will not be satisfied. The only thing that can possibly satisfy us, even for a brief moment, is just more of God. And then at the end of that brief moment, then there's this insatiable desire also, again, more of God, and it won't stop until more of God is acquired. And that's the way we run in life. And not only does it become living with a fuller tank, but it comes flowing with higher octane too. And God, that's what He's doing. He's drawing us to Him. Now, this is in response to what God is called us to for the last several years. He's given us the prophetic word over and over again that He was calling us to this place of closeness. Now, we've come through the precious walk of the Holy Spirit. We're still involved in this move of the Holy Spirit. In the middle of August, we will plan to move to a simulcast with Gateway Church in Dallas on deliverance. So in the process, this God's setting me up. Everybody say, God's setting me up to set me free from some things and break some bondages off of my life. And this is the in-between place for that. Because we, certainly a lot of us has received greater measures of the Holy Spirit as we have reached out toward the Holy Spirit the first part of the year. And now, the thing now that's going to prepare me for the next great move of God is going to be the blood of Jesus. Because where the blood is applied, God comes. God comes. I hope that you're not disappointed. If you're looking for a natural church, this isn't it. If you're looking for a church that doesn't believe that doesn't believe in the supernatural, this is not it. If you're looking for a church that makes God little, this is not it. We want to make God big, because He is big. And we want to look for a God that is real. Not just one that becomes a almost fictitious. We're looking for a God that will show up in your life and do some things that you can't do. And touch your life in ways that you can't touch it. And bring about change that you can't do. That only He can do. And your testimony will be God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Start talking about the calling. Okay, as we're calling to a deeper place, we're looking for a place scripturally, if I say scripturally, too, based on the Bible. We want to flow with me, Chance, if they would up there. That we're looking for a place that I will be able to dig into the Word of God, and there's nothing like the Word of God to get me into this closer place with God. And so we're going to be looking for that, and we're looking for that place of protection. We're looking for that place of closeness. See, to be the most protected place in the world is to be close with God. I mean, that is a protected, the most provisional place in the world is to be close to God. The problem is not in the demons and in the devils. The problem is in my closeness to God. If I can get this proximity of my closeness to God, if I can begin to get closer to the Lord, if I can allow God to, but really it's me taking a step toward God and God taking two steps toward me. It's really me allowing myself to desire God, to want God, and then just allowing God to do what He does best, and that is to show up in our lives and to show up as God and to show the world how much He loves us and how much He loves His children. Amen. So God loves to do that. So it's protected underneath the blood of Jesus. So this is what we're endeavoring to do with the blood, is to find ourselves covered with a covering, put our lives, our homes, underneath this powerful blood of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at the blood this morning in some ways that I can use it in my life, in my prayer time certainly, but in my life to bring me to that closer place with God. Now Exodus chapter 12 verse 3 says, announced to the whole community. Now, there's three major places that the blood is dealt with in the Bible. Well, one of the major places happened in the life of Abraham, when Abraham's love for an entire nation, as Abraham, as the bullocks were severed, as they were spread out, as what we call the walk of covenant, or the figure eight, as God and Abraham walked between the pieces that were slain, there was the blood that was shed to bring about a powerful covenant that would be a nation-redeeming covenant. There would be a covenant that was so big and so great that God could literally just take His arms and wrap the world around with it. God's love for humanity. And that's what God did in Abraham. Found a man that loved Him enough, that would trust Him enough, that would believe Him enough, that He could make a covenant that was so big that you and I to still today have opportunity that's to be under that, be a child of Abraham. And then the second place was as in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, that God began to make a covenant that was not only a nation-rendering covenant, but God began to make one that would care about the family. God says, not only do I care about the nation, but I care about you. God said, I care about you when you wake up in the morning, you got food on your table. I care about the morning you wake up, you got the hurt and the pain in your body. God said, I care about your family. I care about those wayward children. God said, I care about that husband that won't follow God. I care about that wife that's doing her own thing. God said, I care about it. And so in that great rendering, God needed fathers. And that's what He called fathers. In Exodus chapter 12, fathers. And one of the most beautiful pictures in all the Bible to me is a father or a mother. And let me tell you, if dad won't do it, mom do it. If dad won't do it, mom do it. If dad won't do it, mom do it. Somebody has got to stand in front of that door and got to guard their family spiritually. Somebody has got to make a stand in the Lord, a stand that will turn away evil and allow God to come and bless that home. And so, in this great movement of the blood of Jesus, of the blood, then God called for fathers, and He asked fathers that they would slay a lamb and take the blood, and they put it in a little pot, and they would take that blood and they would apply it. And one of the most graphic pictures in all the Bible is a dad standing in front of the entrance to his home. And I don't know what the entrance is. Now, where the devil may be trying to come in your life financially. The devil may be trying to come in your life with commitment. The devil, I don't know where the entrances are. But one of the most graphic pictures in all the Bible is this dad that stands in front of the door of his house. And all he's armed with is the blood of the Lamb. But God has told him that if he will apply that blood, that God will guard that home and not allow the destruction to come into that home. Powerful. And then the third greater occurrence of the blood was on Calvary's Hill. When Jesus not only said, am I a God that cares about nations? Am I not only a God that cares about family? But Jesus said, I'm a God that cares about you. And all of a sudden, the power of the blood became so personal. As Jesus shed blood for every person that is here today, to bring about change in our life, to bring about miraculous deliverance, to bring about miraculous help in our lives personally. So not only if I'm connected with the nation and with the blood, I'm not only am I connected in my family with the blood, the power to apply blood. And I want you to get that picture. And somebody take the spiritual head and walk to the front door of your family and say, devil, I will not allow you to come in here. The blood of Jesus is applied over this family, and we will not allow you to wreak havoc here. Because I tell you, the reason that the Lord told us to get closer, because times are going to get harder. Now listen to me. The reason Jesus has called us to a closer place is because things are going to get harder. Now, I didn't have to wake up this morning and feel someone speaking that in my ear. All I had to do was open up the Bible. And the Bible says that things are going to get harder. But for those that would trust Jesus, as the world gets harder, serving Jesus should get easier and should get more wonderful. Because the Bible says that there is a place in Him that no matter what you're going through, you can have peace and joy in believing what the Bible says. And so God has a tremendous victory in our lives. All right, now in Exodus chapter 12, we're going to run through a little bit of scenario of the blood application in Exodus chapter 12, because it's just real important, because this, what I'm going to talk about, that holds true, whether it was under Abraham, the killing of the bullocks and the shedding of the blood, or whether it was Exodus chapter 12, over the family, or whether it was the New Testament over Jesus, the truth about the blood remains the same. And in fact, the Old Testament rendering of the blood was a type of the exact power that we can see in Jesus' blood that was shed. And although that it has changed, the Bible literally says it's stronger now. If the blood of bullocks and lambs could accomplish, how much greater? Everybody say, how much greater is the blood of Jesus Christ? Okay. All right. First thing, chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 3, it says, announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, each family must choose. You got to choose a lamb. Unless you make a choice, this thing will not happen in your life. You can't just halfway, and that's the reason I wanted Brother T.D. Jakes to share his opening message on commitment, because our hearts ring with that. We understand it's that way. Unless I'm committed to God, then God is not committed to me. I make a step and God makes a step. God's given the prerequisite into my hands. I can choose the closeness with God because it's God's heart to be close to me. But I make the choices for me. I am not a robot. God gave me the power of will. God made me like Himself in that way. He gave me the power of the will. I can either choose to allow the blood of Jesus to cover and protect my family, or I can choose not to. So the exhortation right here, it says, please choose. Choose a lamb. I'm here to tell you, choose the lamb. Choose the lamb. Choose the lamb. The only safe place, the only safe place, choose the lamb. The only safe place is choose the lamb. Choose the lamb. Choose the lamb. Now in verse 11 it says, these are your instructions for eating the meal. He said, be fully dressed, wear your sandals, carry a big stick, or carry a walking stick. I said, eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. What this says is, when I apply the blood, I must do it with expectancy. It's fixing to bring about change in my family. If I'm going to begin to apply the blood on a deeper level, and I must do it with expectancy. If I don't have any faith, it will not work. But I'll tell you what, God is looking for people that will have faith in His blood and faith in His power. So the Bible says, do it with expectancy. Everybody say expectancy. I must begin to apply the blood. I must begin to stand at the entrances to my life. I must begin to stand there with an expectancy. The expectancy is this. If I do what God's told me to do, God will certainly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God will do everything that His Word has promised me to do. Amen? So I do it with expectancy, with faith, trusting the Lord. And verse 2 it says, from now on, this month will be the first month. Well, it says, get ready. Your life is fitting to take hold. If I can find a deeper measure of applying the blood of Jesus into my family, the Bible says it will be the beginning of months to me. What that tells me is this. I will have opportunity to start over again. Some of you, the devil's convinced you that you've already messed up. You've gone too far. Nothing will ever change. I'm here to tell the devil this. The blood of Jesus gives me a new start. It gives me a new time to start it in my life. I may have messed up yesterday, but this is today, honey. And today I'm going to rely on the power of that blood, amen, to work in my life. So we have to do it with expectancy. We have to do it also with understanding my life's going to change. That's got to be the faith that I'm using the blood of Jesus on behalf with. My life's going to change. My family's fixing to change. Things are fixing to turn around. Let me tell you, let me some way get a crowbar and put it under you and prize you off of that story of sadness, of desperation, of depression. Let me tell you, if you will begin to work the blood of Jesus in your life through faith, your life is getting ready to change. God has change in mind, for He wants to bring forth. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, all right, the Bible says, well, that's the Old Testament, but that's not what it says, is it? In verse 17, it says, therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations. What's it say? How long? What's that word say? Forever. It's to be forever thing. A forever thing, the blood of Jesus is able to work in my life. Amen? Forever it will be said. All right, now, it's just this powerful story, a powerful picture of a dad or a mom or somebody that will take spiritual responsibility for that family. I tell you what, I've watched people do it. I tell you, there was a precious lady. In fact, it's George's mom. George's mom took a spiritual responsibility for a lot of us kids that were renegades and not living for God. But that lady got on her knees and prayed for us, and God began to make radical change, not only in my life, but in the lives of others that they would pray for. You got to understand, there is a power that's available. You may have never accessed it, and you may have never came to grips with it in your life, but there is a power available to bring about change. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, Christ is our Passover lamb. He's our Passover, referring back to Exodus chapter 12. in the New Testament, it just refers, pulls you right back in that. So what Jesus says, I'm doing through the power of my blood, is an example of what I did through the power of that lamb's blood in Exodus chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians 5:8, it says, so let us celebrate the festival, not with old bread of wickedness and evil, but with a new bread. Everybody say a new bread of a sincere heart and truth. There's two things that's going to help me to be able to use the blood of Jesus in my life. I've got to quit living some kind of fictitious life. I've got to come to a place of sincerity. I must have a sincere heart, and I've got to base it on the truth of God's Word. And I'll tell you what, the truth of God's Word, if I will look at it right with a sincere heart, it will make fables sound weak. Because I tell you, the truth of God's Word is so powerful. The power of God's blood. The power of God's blood to change your life, to change your health, to change your family, to change our situations is so powerful. It's almost like living in a dream. But that's the power of the blood of God. The blood of Jesus can do more in your life than you can do in all of your lifespan. If I will allow Jesus, some of you think that Jesus is making you independent. God's not in the business of making you independent. God is in the business of making us dependent upon Him. God doesn't want me to learn how to live life without Him. God is determined, if He came so far the first time, He's willing to come the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time to be involved in my life. God doesn't want my life to work without Him. And honey, God will not allow it to work. The days are too evil. God knows if it'll work without Him today, then tomorrow you think you could be able to stand up against the enemy without Him. God knows the enemy would wipe you out. So what the Lord says, I'm going to teach you how to depend on me. But if my children would depend on me, then the world doesn't even know and understand the love that I have for you and the power that I have made available to you. Amen. So it's the power of that blood at work in our life. So it's Christ. Sincere by faith, sincere in truth. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. I'm going to read just a few verses here, if I may. Stay with me just real quick here. Because I want you to see how alive it is in the New Testament. The blood of Jesus. We're going to use as our example, Exodus chapter 12. We're going to use as our example how they apply. Because there are such practical ways used there. How I can put the blood of Jesus to work in my life. But God wants you to know how strong it is to Him. So He gave major parts of the New Testament to be a reminder to me about how important that blood is. Hebrews 9:11 says, so Christ now became the high priest over all the good things. I love what He says. See, some of you think God's the author of bad things. And this right here says God's made Him a high priest. When we talk about high priest, we talk about application of blood. It's the principle involved around the blood. There are certain words that's spoken that you got to know that they are speaking about the blood. When we talk about a high priest, we're talking about someone that their major duty was dealing with the blood to bring forgiveness and help into people's lives. When we talk about hyssop, when you see hyssop in the New Testament, we're also talking about the blood. There's a lot of words that when you see that blood, the word Passover, there's a lot of words that are automatic, should be automatic. We should be able to make connection in the New Testament that is talking about the blood of Jesus being applied over my life. All right, now it says, so Christ has now become the high priest over good things. Everybody say, He's the high priest over good things. Over all the good things that have come, He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made with human hands and is not a part of the created world. Verse 12 says, with His own blood. Somebody say, with Jesus' blood. Not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once and for all and secured our redemption forever. All right, 14 says, just think how much more. Now, you see what this is telling us? Now, I'm not preaching. I'm trying to stay away from preaching. I just want to talk to you today. You see what it's telling us? It says, think about this. It says, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify. Just think about it. It says, if the blood of bulls and goats and lambs accomplished that in the Old Testament. Now it says, just think about it. Well, I tell you what, my mind, my imagination can go wild with that. As I just begin to think about how much greater. Let me ask you, how much greater is the blood of Jesus over the blood of an animal? And how much greater? Somebody say, how much greater? How much greater? How much greater is that? Able to see. And said, the Bible says, we just think how much more will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God for the power of the eternal Spirit. Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Verse 15. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and man so that all who are called can receive. Now, this is the reason God established it. This is the final reason the blood is given to us. Notice what it says. So that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance that God has promised us. What has God promised you? What has God promised you? What have you grown discouraged over in the last many years? When you started out and those promises of God were so powerful in you, what happened? Where did discouragement come in? But God said, the reason I've used the blood of Jesus, because I wanted to secure something for you that would not fail you. So all the promises that I've made to you, they can come to pass. Then verse 20 says, then he said, the blood confirms it. The blood confirms all of the wonderful promises, the powerful covenant that God has made. The blood is what confirms it into my life. Amen? Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, I know people say, well, the blood did it, so there's no need of us to do anything. That's not what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of blood. Two things God requires. Sprinkling of blood and obedience. God's calling me to obey him. Because it's going to take something out of my part for me to get the blood out of the basin and onto my life. That's why the Bible says, not only is it the sprinkling of the blood, but it's also the obedient life that's going to do it in direction under the Lord. So God is asking this out of me. It's what he just said. I'm the elect. And it said, God's calling me unto obedience. Everybody say, God's calling me unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood. All right, the first thing I want to take off with you here. The first thing that the blood enables. The blood enables us. Now, we're talking about getting practical now. The blood enables me to conquer Satan. Say that with me. The blood enables me to conquer Satan. Now I want you to look at Revelation chapter 12. That's exactly what it says. Verse 11. They have conquered him. Now who is the they? Somebody say, they is me. Because they're talking about those that have overcome the enemy. Those of the church. And what it says is, they, me, have conquered him. Who is him? Satan, by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's the blood and what I say about that blood. The thing that will overcome the devil. Now, the devil will try to convince you of a lot of things, but the thing that the devil is afraid of, he's afraid of the blood of Jesus. And people in this church that realize the power that's in the blood of Jesus, the devil is so frightened of you because you're the ones that have the power to overcome whatever it is that the devil is trying to do in your life. Where the devil is trying to bring division in your home, where the devil is trying to cause the kids to move into rebellion. One thing for sure, you need to call the devil, and you need to call God, God. And the devil's not, the devil's the problem, but God is the answer. Amen. And the Bible says the way that you will overcome him, it didn't give us 15 ways here. It said the way that you will overcome the devil is through the power of the blood and your declaration or the testimony, your testimony about that declaration working in your life. I'll be honest with you. If you're here and you've got sad stories to tell, the blood of Jesus won't work very much for you. If you're here this morning, you're caught up on sad street, sickened street, down street, discouraged street. God is here today to lift you up out of that. The Lord is here today to lift you up and to raise you up and allow your mouth to begin to declare the truth of God. And that testimony, based on the power that's in that blood, will give you the power to completely overcome the devil, no matter what the devil is trying to do in the midst of your life. I want you right now, for some of you that can focus real quick with me, that you know where the devil's making entrance into your life. You know it. You guys, it's on your mind. I came to church this morning with it in my mind. And what I've been standing against is the lies of the devil, because there's a wave that the devil is trying to make an entrance into my life now. I'm here to stand up in front of my door and tell the devil he has no right, because the blood of Jesus is applied. Amen. I want us to get our declaration strong. Your testimony about the blood has to be strong. If you're thinking that the blood of the devil is as strong as the blood of God, you will never be used by God. But when you realize that the blood of Jesus was so much stronger than the blood of the devil, then you're able to stand up. That's what we call pleading the blood. It's when you take the power of that blood and you apply it against whatever it is the devil's trying to do. Then you tell the devil, no, you can't do that. And you begin to take the testimony of the blood, make it personal. That's why it's a personal testimony that you overcome with. Now, you that know of ways that the devil's making interest, stand to your feet real quick. We're going to put a stop to that lousy enemy that's trying to. Now, if you don't have a way, don't stand up, man. Don't be a puppet. But in the name of Jesus, if you know of a way that the devil's trying to make entrance, then we're going to begin to apply that blood over it right now. I want to give you a word of your testimony. I want to give you a word. I want to help put a word in your mouth about the blood that will cause your power, the power of the blood, to overpower the enemy. First, you're no match. But the devil's no match for the blood of Jesus. I want you to say with me. Don't say in the name of Jesus. I want you to see yourself standing in front of the door, whatever the devil's trying to come through, whatever the devil's trying to do in your life. I want you to see yourself standing in front of that door. I want you to say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I stand covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus, I apply the blood, which is so powerful, which is so strong. The blood that defeated you on Calvary, the blood that defeated you in the corridors of hell, the blood that brought Jesus to life again, now stands against you, devil, in the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus, I apply that blood against you, and I declare you, devil, you're illegal, because the blood hath blessed me. You have no right to my life. You have no right to my children. You have no right to my family. You have no right to my health. You have no right to me in any way. So in the name of Jesus, I apply that blood. I stand covered in that blood, protected by that blood, guarded by that blood, kept by that blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, somebody that believes in that blood, somebody, yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I want you to sit down very quickly, or sit down very quickly. It's almost time for it to close. But you got to know that the blood gives me the power to conquer the enemy. So what you do, you need to do on a daily basis. You need to do it, but it needs to be a lifestyle of confidence. Now, we're going to cover, during these 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to cover the things that the blood sanctifies you, the blood redeems you, the blood cleanses you, the blood makes you holy, the blood makes you. It brings you into the entrance of God. It brings God into you. It brings the presence of God into your life. There's so many wonderful things the blood does. But the essential way is that you must allow God. There are some things that has to take place. You've got to gain a knowledge of that blood. You will never be able to release your faith on something that you don't start with some knowledge of. You've got to first give yourself time and opportunity to get into scriptures that relates to the power of that blood. You will not want for scriptures. The Bible is full of scriptures that tell you the power of that blood. Some of you are wrestling with sins that the Bible has said, I've already sanctified you through the power of that blood. And some of you are wrestling with things. Some of you are wrestling with the presence of God and the ability to hear God when God says, you just apply the blood and I'll come. My presence loves that blood. But you've got to give yourself to the knowledge of the blood. The second thing is you've got to give yourself to the meditation of that. Now, meditation simply means this. It's not some far out, far screen, far demonic thing. Meditation simply means, the Bible says, if I will meditate on the Word day and night, I will prosper. God will cause whatever I'm doing to get better. If you're meditating the power of the blood of Jesus over your health, God gives the absolute promise your health will get better. If you're meditating over your family will get better. Because it's not the Logos, which is the written Word. Somebody hold up the written Word of God. That's not what brings faith in your heart. That brings knowledge to you. You must stay in that knowledge. You must stay in that written Word until God begins to speak that or breathe it into your life. For years, I've sought for words to make that easier to understand. I just can't do it. But it's a God thing. I can't even explain it in my own self. But I do know this. If you will give yourself to the Word of God in the area of the blood, especially, in any area though, but especially the blood, and you begin to meditate on it. Meditate simply means I sit, I ponder on it, I think on it, I begin to speak it, mutter it into my heart. For example, when the book of Peter tells me, by whose stripes I was healed, that blood healed me. And if I will begin to meditate on that, begin to meditate and ponder and begin to speak it into myself, just muttering it, sitting, that gives God the opportunity then to breathe His breath into it. Because listen to me, you won't get faith from knowledge. You'll get faith from God's breath being breathed into that word. The Bible said, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word. That's the word rhema. It's not the word logos. The word logos means the written word of God. But the word rhema means God's breath word, His breathing word that God breathes into you. So you've got to give yourself, if you want to see the protection over those that you love, if you want to see your covering covered, then you've got to give yourself to the Word. There's no ifs and ands about it. And if you're lazy, you've got to break that spirit of laziness. That was one of the first things that God had to break in my life. Because I was raised spoiled as a spoiled child, and God had to break that spirit of laziness. And that spirit of laziness would hold me back from spiritual things. You've got to stand up and say, I break this spirit of laziness, and I'm going to give myself to the Word of God. And you allow the Lord to put a spiritual strength of discipline into your life to where that you get into the Word on the various subjects. But you get into the Word on that area of the blood. It won't be long. If you're a meditator, I say, if I meditate, if I just begin to mutter it to myself, just begin to speak what that Word says, you don't speak your problem. If you mutter your problem, you're going to get fear and doubt. But if you have muttered what the Word of God said, you're going to get faith and power. And so you just begin to mutter what that Word of God says and begin to think about it. And then as you begin to, that's what the Bible calls meditation, then God begins to breathe into it. And it goes, all of a sudden it goes from a knowledge to a faith, to a belief. All of a sudden you're starting out with a knowledge, but it doesn't stop there when you begin to meditate on it. And it has to be there for you to begin to apply the blood. You're never going to be able to apply anything in your life that's powerful, that's not by faith. You've got to have faith to be able. Somebody said, well, you say I'm not having faith. I'm saying you're not having faith. If you're not in the Word of God on various subjects till God speaks to you, you don't have faith. Faith is not all the Christians lined up and everybody saying everybody's equal. That's not the way it is. Faith is given to those that will seek God in His Word on various subjects and allow God to breathe into them the breath of His Word. And all of a sudden, what's written on a page is no longer on a page. It becomes spoken out of the mouth of God to you. And when that happens, faith will begin to arise. Then what you do, then you have to give God a time. A wonderful time for that is early in the morning or at night. or really God wants to do it all through your day. But then what do you get a basin of that? What this basin is full of, this basin is full of the knowledge of God's Word on the power of that blood. That knowledge of that Word, it tells me that I'm healed. It tells me that I'm delivered. It tells me that I'm set free. It tells me that God's working in my life, bringing me close to Him. It tells me that not only does God come into my life, it tells me now God's given me an entrance into a heavenly kingdom. I mean, all wonderful things, but getting it, as long as it stays in here, it will never, ever work in my life. As long as it's in the basin. Now, some of you have been running around with your basins, and you can tell that that's a person that's got a Bible that never opens it. You can run around with your basin all day long, and it will never, ever work for you. But the Bible says the way you do it, the application is that I must pour it into the basin, and then I'm take the hyssop. Now, what the Bible says in hyssop is just a normal bush with this quality. The hyssop is a normal bush, and this is the way they would apply the blood over their doorposts and lintels of their home. The hyssop is a normal bush. The only difference is it has the power to absorb liquid. So what has to happen is you have to take that knowledge of what God's blood does in your life. Then you take the hyssop and plunge it in. Now, there's only one thing that God's given you that is supernatural enough to hold the knowledge of and power of His blood. There's only one thing that God's given you. It wasn't yours in the beginning. It really doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. The Bible said He gave to every man the measure of what? That's what He's got. It belongs to God. You think your faith is yours, but your faith is not yours. It was given by God. There's only one thing that's strong enough in your life that's able to absorb the power of the blood. And that is your faith. And that's what happens when you plunge it in the blood and you sit there and you're meditating what the Bible tells you about the blood. You're meditating about it. You're muttering it to yourself. All of a sudden, what happens is that hyssop begins to absorb that blood. And what's going to happen is your faith is going to begin to absorb the power of the blood. Once it gets absorbed, then the Bible says, then you take it and then you apply it. Now, that's where the book of Revelation comes in. We overcome by what? The word of our testimony is my personal testimony as I declare what the power of the blood has done over my life. That's what it becomes. The hyssop is my faith, but the sprinkling, putting it on that door, is the power of my testimony. Now, what that tells me is this, is my power, the power of declaration. That's why each one of us need a prayer closet. Because God's going to show you things about that blood that nobody else is going to believe it, honey. Nobody's going to believe that God's going to take a rascal like you and make a saint out of you. Nobody's going to believe that God's going to take a body as broken down as yours and God's going to heal it and bring it to health again. But to the power of that closet you have that. Where you will begin to let your faith has first got to absorb the power of the blood of that's spoken to in Scripture. So you meditate the Scripture. Everybody say, that's why the Bible says day and night. You meditate that Scripture. Somebody says, man, it's going to take a work. It's going to take a work to be blessed. It sure is. It's going to take a willingness in your life to be different. It's going to be a willingness in your life to be changed. It's going to take a desire in you for God to do in you what He has promised to do. And you quit being one of the casualties of the church. You begin to determine, I'm not going to be a casualty any longer of the kingdom of God, but I'm going to be a victor in this thing. I'm going to win this thing for the glory of God. I'm no longer going to allow the devil to steal from me. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to use what God's given to me to fight back for the glory of God. And then you begin to take that blood, and the Bible says we're called to do two things, obey and sprinkle. And you begin to take that blood and you begin to apply it over every entrance in your life. What does that sound like, Larry? It sounds like I take that in my morning prayer. And I say, Lord, I may be facing some financial ruin, and you're certainly not, because that's my children. I may be facing some financial ruin, but that's not what your blood says. Your word says that through the power of the covenant that my God supplied all of my needs according to your riches. And Lord, I'm taking this blood and I'm applying it with my mouth. My mouth, Lord, is speaking out your word and it's declaring, and I declare it before heaven. See the wonderful thing, oh, I tell you what, there's so much wonder. The wonderful thing about the blood, it has power in heaven and has power and earth. Whoa! Wherever you apply that blood, God immediately comes. His presence is drawn to the blood just like a metal is drawn to a magnet. When you begin to say, Lord, I'm applying the blood of Jesus over my finances, and I declare in the name of Jesus that Satan has not power to destroy me anymore. Your word told me, Jesus, that the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, you've come to give me life. I'm here to allow that. And the Bible says the blood's in the life. That life's in the blood. So, Lord, as I apply that blood over my situation, the life of Jesus now comes in. You know what life is? You know what life is? You know what real life is? The life that God's talking about we receive in the blood is the resurrected. It's because it's the word Zoe, Z-O-A. It's the word Zoe life. It's the word resurrected life. And do you know what the resurrected life is always looking for? It's looking for something dead that it can bring it to life. All the time. And if you begin to be faithful with the blood of Jesus, applying it in your life and receiving by faith, that blood's going to always be looking for something dead to bring it to life. Whether it's a dead marriage, whether it's a dead health, whatever it is. Because I tell you, resurrection is not... Resurrection life only knows one thing to do with life, and that's the resurrected. To bring it to life. To cause it to live. So, Lord, right now, I want you to think. I want you to pull somebody in your heart that you're loving and you're caring for. I want you to pull right now, just bring them to your mind. Somebody that you're loving and you're caring for. I want you to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I begin to apply the blood of Jesus over this person's life. This one that I love, Lord. This one that I'm concerned about. This one that I care for. I apply the blood of Jesus. Lord, in fact, I begin to plead the blood to stand against the evil that's trying to overcome this person's life. Lord, I begin to stand against the evil, to stand against the hurt, to stand against the pain, to stand against the discouragement. Whatever is trying to take place in this person's life to pull them off course, Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I believe as I do this, I'm preparing their heart for a visitation from God. I believe, Lord, as I apply that blood right now over their life, Lord, that it is preparing their heart for a visitation from God. I may not can talk any sense into them. I may not can talk about God at all, but you're God, oh Lord, because the blood worked from inside out. As I apply this blood over their lives, I believe that it's preparing their heart right now, because your presence always goes where your blood is, Jesus. You proved that over and over in the Bible. The Shekinah glory of God would come when the blood was poured out. So your presence, Lord, is coming into their life. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you've not put me in a dead-end street. You've not put me into a situation that there's no way out. But Lord, I have a way. You give me the power of your blood. And I apply this blood. Now, some of you need the blood of Jesus applied over your life. Some of you need that blood for forgiveness. If you need forgiveness, why don't you just stand right where you're seated at? If you need the blood of Jesus to forgive you for some things, the things that went unconfessed, then we want to let the blood of Jesus wipe that slate clean too, don't we? So go ahead and stand right there. We're going to let that blood of Jesus. I want you to say, Father, go ahead and whisper it right there in your heart. Just whisper in your heart. Say, Father, I ask forgiveness. And your word says that if I would confess or give testimony to the power of your blood over my weakness, over my sin, that you would forgive me. And that you would cleanse me, Lord, from all unrighteousness. Lord, we not only get sick in body, we not only get sick in our finances, we not only get sick in our relationship, Lord, sometimes I get sick in my soul. And Lord, right now by faith, I receive your forgiveness and your cleansing. And now, Lord, I apply that blood over the altar of my heart that brings the fire of your presence back into my life. The very fire of your presence, Lord, that you proved so many times in the Old Testament as the blood was poured, the very fire of your presence would come. I believe, Lord, that you're pouring your fire, igniting in me a passionate pursuit and a passionate desire toward God. I'll never be the same, because what the blood changes is forever. What the blood changes, Lord, I've lived with a lot of temporary things, but what the blood changes is forever. And I've received by faith your forever change. In Jesus' name.